My three, if you can be back tonight at 6, God give me three sermons. I don't know for sure which one I'm going to preach. So I put three together this week. I ain't going to preach all three now. Don't worry about that. And then I'll be here Tuesday, Lord willing, preach on Thanksgiving. Amen. Something about being thankful. You always got something to thank God for, don't you? That's how you get out of the dumps. You start thinking and praising God, all of a sudden the sun starts shining again. Amen. Verse 15 in Nehemiah 3. But the gate of the fountain repaired Shulam, the son of Kohoza, the ruler of the part of Mizpah, he built it and covered it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, the bars thereof, and the wall of the pool of Shiloah by the king's garden, under the stairs that go down from the city of David. After he repaired, repaired Nehemiah, here's another Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the ruler of the half part of Bethzar, under the place over against the sepulchres of David, to the pool that was made under the house of the mighty. He repaired, and him repaired the Levites, Rehum, the son of Bani, next unto him repaired Hashabiah, the ruler of the half part of Keilah, in his part. After him repaired their brethren, Bavaiah, the son of Henadab, the ruler of the half part of Keilah. Next unto him repaired Ezer, the son of Jeshua, the ruler of Mizpah. Another piece over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. After him Barak, the son of Zabbai, He earnestly repaired the other place from the turning of the wall to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. After him repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Kez, another piece, from the door of the house of Eliashib, even to the end of the house of Eliashib. And after him repaired the priest, the men of the plain. And after him repaired Benjamin and Hashab over against their house, and him repaired Azariah, the son of Messiah, the son of Ananiah, by his house. After him repaired Benui, the son of Henadab, another place from the house of Azariah, under the turning of the wall, even under the corner. Puli, the son of Uzziah, over against the turning of the wall, the tower which lieth out from the king's high house, that by the court of the prison. After him, Pedaiah, the son of Parish. And don't you dare ask me to read that again. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about the fountain gate. This is glorious. This is glorious. Amen. Max III, pray for us, will you? Amen. The fountain gate. What you got to understand here, the Jews have been in Babylonian captivity. They're coming back into the land. They've got to build the walls in order to have protection, in order to have businesses, in order to have security, tranquility, and civility. When the walls are built, the gates have got to be built. You've got to have an entrance point and an exit point in a city. And what these gates represent is the progression of the Christian life. That's what they represent. Everything in the Bible, if God records it, gives it a name, has a very significant meaning to it. And it's up to us to compare Scripture with Scripture in order to find that meaning. Now, when the Lord dealt with a woman at the well, what a story. The woman at the well. She'd been married 5 times. Now she's with a man's not her husband. And the Lord had mercy on her. And the Lord loved her. But before the Lord saved her, he quickened to her understanding a great emptiness on the inside. He's going to let her know what's really wrong with her. It's not a thirst for water from Jacob's well, but it's a thirst that only the Lord can satisfy. It's a spiritual hunger and a spiritual thirst. When the Lord saved her, she ran back into the city and said, "Come see a man which told me all things ever whatever I did, is not this the Christ? Come, see a man that satisfied me on the inside. Come, see a man that quenched my thirst on the inside. John 14:13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of the water, or this water, Jacob's well, shall thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in the everlasting life. The fountain gate is the spring gate. God said that when he saves somebody, satisfies them, he puts a spring, a fountain on the inside. Like an artesian well, it bubbles up from the inside and gives a person a reason to live and power to live and joy to live. Revelation 21:6, I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. Now drinking and thirst are common pictures of God's salvation and of our fellowshipping with him. Drinking is an action. It is a receiving. What do? To satisfy thirst. You don't make the water. You receive the water. The water's got to be available. And then you've got to take advantage and the benefit from that water by receiving it. That's why we talk about getting saved. We talk about receiving Christ. It's talking about believing on him from the inside and receiving him as our Savior. Now, what does a thirsty man need? He needs to get rid of his thirst. You don't have to take a bath to drink water. You don't have to pay money to drink water. You don't have to be rich to drink water. You don't have to have status and influence. All you've got to do is be thirsty and find the source of the water. Amen. After conversion, we never thirst again to be saved, but we thirst for the presence of God. It's sort of like when you were born into this world, you got old enough to find out that you're the child of mom and daddy. You never thirst again to have a mom and daddy, but you thirst to be around them. You thirst to have fellowship with them. That's what this fountain gate's all about. It's about having fellowship with God, having a deep knowledge and understanding of God. We thirst for wisdom. We thirst for knowledge. We thirst for power. We thirst for, again, for the presence of God. What did the Lord, by the mouth or the pen of Jeremiah, what did God call himself? He called himself the fountain of living water. He said, you've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and you made cisterns, hewn out cisterns that can hold no water. Talking about false religion. Now, here we go. We've been to the sheep gate. That's in the north. That's where it all starts. Salvation started in the north, in the mind of God. These gates, as they're built and repaired and set and hung, they start at the sheep gate and go down to the low point, and the lowest point's the dung gate, and then they start ascending and they end back up at the sheep gate. That sheep gate's Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the start. He's the finish. Hallelujah. He's eternity to eternity. Thank God it's so. So you go to the sheep gate where you're saved. That's where the sacrificial animals come through to be sacrificed as a picture of Christ who would come and die. How the lamb came through that gate. Then you got the fish gate. That's when you witness of what God did to you at the sheep gate. If you're saved, a bona fide witness can only speak about what they know, not what somebody told them, what they've seen or what they've heard. Not hearsay, what they've seen or what they've heard. And you become a bona fide witness at the fish gate of what God did for you, and you seek that others might have what you have. Then you get to that old gate and you start learning the doctrines of this Bible. How to rightly divide the Word of God. And the longest gap from one gate to the next is that old gate where you get settled in establishing God's Word. And then God takes you to the valley gate where you go down into the valley. And you start learning those things that don't please God. And you get a deeper understanding of experiential Christianity and salvation. How to put the Bible to shoe leather. In the valley, He restored my soul. And you come out of that valley experience, finding out there's things in your life that don't please God. What do you do when you got things that don't please God? You got to get rid of them. Where do you get rid of them? You get rid of them at the dung gate. Now, once a person is saved by grace, they're witnessing of the saving grace of God. They've got a workable knowledge of the Bible. They've been through some valleys and been brought out. They know how to confess their sin and keep a short sin list. And that means you don't have to sin willfully every day. You don't have to. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to. We sin when we're not obeying God. Be that as it may, we have to learn what to do with our sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sin. Not for ours only, but the sin of the whole world. Hey, when I mess up, thank God, I know where to get rid of my sin. Boy, that's something to learn. If you ever learn how to really get rid of your sin, you get learn how to get rid of the guilt and the shame. Those are the two things that's such a blessing when sin's gone. When you know your sin's gone, the guilt and the shame's gone. So, you're going to move from that dung gate, now you're going to start ascending. Now, what's this? This progression you're making? It's all for one thing. To learn the deep communion and fellowship with God. You've got to go to that valley to learn this. You got to get to that dung gate to learn this. And then God takes you to that place of revival, the fountain gate, where the water is springing up and where God is blessing you with His presence. The fountain gate, that deeper fellowship and intimacy with God. Now notice something about this fountain gate that is very significant. Of all of the gates, the fountain gate was obstructed more by the enemy than any gate. Y'all with me? Did you get that? What gate did I just say was the most obstructed? Fountain gate. What's the fountain gate? Fellowship with God. And there's nothing in your life Satan will fight you more than you having fellowship, unbroken communion with God Almighty. The devil, the enemy, seeks to obstruct this gate. When Nehemiah went out to survey the city, he went out by the valley gate and the dung gate, examining the walls. Then I went to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool. There was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. It was so obstructed. There was so much rubble and ruin. He had to get down from the beast he was on, probably a donkey, and that was blocking the gate, and get down and walk around it. Why? 2 Kings 25:4 gives insight into this. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between the two walls, which is by the king's garden. That's the fountain gate. Now the Chaldeans were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. So this fountain gate was the gate that the kings, the royalty, the priest escaped through. Therefore, when the enemy found that out, they made it their purpose to stop that escape route and to obstruct it. What's the escape route that God's given?
given us from this wicked world. It's a fountain gate. It's fellowship with God. When you're in fellowship with God, the whole world will be falling down around you, and you shout the victory and walk in joy when you're in fellowship with Him. Amen. Boy, doesn't this all this just make sense? Later on, they became aware of the escape passage, the secret place of fellowship with God. Satan fights. He distracts you. He'll discourage you. He'll deceive you. He'll do everything in his power to divide us. You know why? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. When you live in the presence of God, you're strong. You got strength. You got purpose. You got power. You got vision. You got faith. I mean, the whole world be falling down around you, and being in God's presence for 5 seconds lightens the load and gives you hope. That's why Satan fights us from getting there. He obstructs the way. Now, think about a fountain gate. Think about water springing up. What are we talking about? We're talking about refreshment. We're talking about quenching of the thirst. Not for salvation, but for fellowship with God. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. So what Satan does, he tries to keep you from the water. He tries to keep you from prayer. He tries to keep you from living in a way that doesn't dishonor God. He tries to keep you from the Word of God and meditation on God's Word. He's obstructing that path. Jesus Christ was a busy man, but He was never in a hurry. Let that sink in. Christ never got in a hurry, but He's busy all the time. Busy doing something. And Satan will get you so busy. Satan will so get you so distracted. He obstructs the fountain gate. Man, if you want to know what's our problems, usually the base and source is right here. Satan has obstructed the fountain gate. And we're dying of thirst. We're dying of dehydration. We don't have strength because we're not that. Listen, you got to drink water every day if you're going to be healthy. And to be, I never have believed what these doctors say. There's no way I could drink as much water as they tell you to drink every day. Man, I'd be throwing up. But I'll tell you, what they're probably doing is exaggerating things to get you to drink. If you just drink half what they say, you'd be doing good. So, what's Satan doing? He's wanting you to operate without the fellowship of God. Folks, you're out of business. You're out of business. You can't go forward. You're going to discover, listen to this, you're going to discover right quick, when you're not hanging around the Lord, living in the presence of God, you can't stand most people, and then you can't stand yourself. Boy, that's right. Then comes all that darkness and all that depression and all that doubt. Now, I know that can be a physical problem. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the issues of life. Verse 16, after him, repaired. Verse 17, after him, repaired. Verse 17, and next unto him, repaired. You'll find in the fountain gate, it was the gate most obstructed, and it's the gate where most of the workers were at, and they were known. Verse 16 again, after him repaired. Verse 17, after him repaired. Verse 17, and next unto him repaired. Verse 18, after him repaired. Verse 19, next unto him repaired. Verse 20, after him burnt the son of Zebedee earnestly repaired. Verse 21, after him repaired. Verse 22, after him repaired. Verse 23, after him repaired. Verse 23, after him repaired. Verse 24, after him repaired. I'm talking about 14 men are mentioned to repair that fountain gate. Do you get what God's saying? That's the priority. Once you go through that sheep gate and you're saved, this is the key right here.
And you're going to have to fight and you're going to have to labor to stay right here. Amen. You know what revival's about? Repairing your fountain gate. You know what going to church is and praying's about? Repairing that fountain gate. And I can sit around and blame you and you can sit around and blame me. But if I'm walking in fellowship with God, I ain't a blaming you. No, no. God's people's got their guns on each other. You know why? They're not in fellowship with God. People in fellowship with God ain't doing that. That's a work of the flesh. If you're walking with God, you're in fellowship with God, you're not nitpicking everybody, analyzing everybody, finding fault with everybody. I'll tell you, it's sort of like, is the hourglass half full or half empty? When you're walking with God, it's half full. When you're not, it's half empty. It's the difference in the positive and the negative. A verse, notice this, the obstruction of the gate, then the observances about the gate. Verse 15, but the gate of the fountain repaired Shalom, the son of Kalhosa, the ruler of the part of Mizpah. He built it and covered it. This is the only place where we find that this gate was covered. Did you notice that? Notice here, shaded from the blazing sun. What's that talk about? The blazing sun in the Bible talks about temptation and spiritual warfare. Where do you find the covering? From the lying, deceiving, tempting voice of the enemy and the enemy of your own flesh. You'll find that at the fountain gate. Hallelujah. Fellowship with God. Presence of God is what does it. Amen. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing like it. 1,000 drugs put together can't touch the presence of God. The fullness of the Holy Ghost. Boy, there's a refreshing here. The place of rest and relaxation. The place of reality. And the place of relationship. I'm telling you, dear people, God nailed this in my heart. 95% of all of our problems is we're not drinking from the fountain gate. That's what the devil's obstructed it from us. We've been disappointed. We've been let down. We don't understand the ways of God. We don't know what God's doing. And we let the devil run us from the very thing we know. We used to gain our strength from the presence of God. That's where we used to find hope in this world. A lot of times our problems didn't change, but we changed because the presence of God changed us. Listen, I don't want to have to put up myself. I want to put up with God. Amen. All these labors, watch this now. All these labors speak of the difficulty of rebuilding this gate. Boy, listen to me. We're just transparent here. You look back at your life, and you know times of sweet fellowship with God, where you walked in days and weeks and months in that, and all that's taken away, and it's not taken away that it won't come back. God takes it away and we go through that valley. Come out of that valley. Hit that dung gate one more time. Get rid of that. Have that deeper walk with God. I'll tell you something. God wants to get you deeper than you've ever been. A lot of what we have experienced before was a whole lot of emotion. God wants you where the water runs still. Like the old people said, where the shades of love lie deep. Boy, I like the emotions that go with it, too. Don't misunderstand. Lord, you know I do. So, all these workers, there's not a gate more time spent or men spent to open it up because there was the most obstruction, the most difficult and hardship to keep that gate open, but it's the most important outside of the sheep gate. The difficulty of opening up the blessing of this gate. So it is no longer obstructed by your flesh and by the enemy. It takes dedication. It takes real discipline to get that gate open again. There's no shortcuts to having fellowship with God. It takes time. You might have to seek God 30 days to get the obstructions out of the way. Now, I'm serious. Serving God's big time.
That's why people in heaven are so rewarded that overcome. You ever notice that church in those seven churches in the book of Revelation? To him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. That's what he's talking about. He didn't say him that got saved. To him that overcometh. There is such a victory. And there is such a reward and recognition by God to him or her that overcometh. Young people. Old people. That overcome. Amen. Boy, I was reading about an old boy. Back when he was like 10 years old, he gave himself, little old boy, gave himself to pray three times a day. Ain't that something? I'm talking about somebody that knew how to overcome. You say, well, overcome what? Overcome all the obstacles. Overcome all the discouragements. Overcome all the depression. Overcome all of the distractions. Overcome all of it, the things that Satan puts in our way. Overcome it by the presence of God. I'll tell you what. Our problems look like a mountain. But when you get out around God, he's a mountain, and your problems look like a molehill. They ain't even that big. I told y'all this the other night. Did you know? I'll tell you, those wasn't here, I'm going to repeat it. Do you know you've never prayed a big prayer? Do you know that God's never heard a big prayer? Because none of your prayers or anybody else's are big to him. It's just as easy for God to save one as 10,000. Oh, yeah. It's just as easy for God to provide financial help to a million people as one. There's nothing big to him. He's got all power. And then, not only that, the opening of the gate. This gate, what's this? This gate is near a fountain. The fountain was within the city of Jerusalem, within the walls of salvation, St. Chronicles. Don't forget that. God put that fountain in you when he saved you. St. Chronicles 32:30. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper water course of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in his works. Hezekiah, that's still there today. He channeled the Gihon Springs through a tunnel to the inside of Jerusalem so that when the city was besieged, they would have water. If you got water, you got life. You can raise gardens. You got water, people can live. Notice the west side of the city of David. What was the west side of the city of David? The fountain gate. Amen. Amen. They built that, listen to this. He built an aqueduct to ensure fresh water inside the walls. That's what God put in you, freshness. God didn't put staleness in you. If Christianity gets stale, you already got that gate obstructed. You're not drinking from the fountain. It was more than 650 yards long through solid rock. That's why they couldn't believe, they couldn't understand how Israel was surviving. They didn't know that he went through this solid rock back then and made this tunnel. It began on both ends and met in the middle. Is that not God? His thing started on two great eternities and met in the middle. Amen. And God brings water to your soul and mind. Now, today, it empties into the pool of Siloam. The fountain gate gave access to these refreshing waters. This tunnel that was cut through the rock to bring living water. What was that rock that God cut to bring the water? It's the rock of ages. That was Christ. That was smitten on the cross. And the water runs out of him. He's the source. Notice what's at the fountain gate. Because you got water. You got springs. You got the king's garden. Amen. That's a blessing of God. When you get around that spring and you start having fellowship with God, you'll start bearing fruit and beauty. I'm talking about the beauty of Christ's likeness.
The fruit of the Spirit, if you got one, you got them all. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance. Long-suffering against such, there is no law. All that. That beauty of the King's garden. Amen. That sweetness, that the smell and the beauty and the fruit of the fountain gate. He gave access to royalty, the King's garden. Now, throughout these verses, we read that this fountain gate here has references to the King. Watch this. In connection to the fountain gate, you got the King's garden and the stairs that go down to the city of David, which is the city of Zion. It's where David lived. When you walk through that fountain gate, you come to the spring. And because the springs are there, you got the King's garden. And it leads to the steps that go down to the city of David, the city of Zion. That's where the King's at. He's at the fountain gate. That's where the fellowship is. That's where Christ becomes Lord and King in your life. Amen. Verse 16, you got the mention of the sepulchers of David where the kings were buried. The house of the mighty is mentioned. Amen. Boy, you go through that fountain gate, you get to rejoicing with the King, and God begins to let you know all the effort that's been made by your forefathers and all the effort that's been made for you to have the gospel, and you rejoice in that we're not we're not born on some island. This thing's on purpose, and God's got a providence for us to be here. And the thing that God's looking for, dear people, hear me. God's looking for a place He can call the fountain gate. God's looking for a place where a church can have such deep fellowship with God that others can come through the gate of the King and the gate of the spring and get refreshment. Amen. I'm telling you the vision of this church all over again. Right here it is. So the fountain gate was near the residence of the King. Listen to this now. The fountain gate gave access for the common people to go see the King. We maintain the fountain gate of communion and fellowship in our lives. We reside with the King in the city of Zion, basking in His presence, hearing His word, being encouraged by His promise, having a vision of the future, sitting in His feet. Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of the King is, there is power. Amen. You get through that fountain gate, you get the word of the King. Amen. For you personally. And there is power. We need power in our lives. I need power to withstand temptation. I need power to serve God. I need power to love God. I need power to witness. I need power to worship God. I need power to wrestle the works of the enemy. I need power to do the work of God. Then fourthly, the overcoming at the fountain gate. The fountain gate gave access. Here we go. It gave access to the springs. The water, fellowship. When you get in fellowship with God, you got access to the King. You got access to the throne. You got access to the city of Zion. When you get there, praise God, you got access to the house of the mighty, to the King's garden. And then you got access to the armory. Verse 19, another piece over against the going up to the armory at the turning of the wall. There was a depot where the arms were, the weapons were. Our God's a man of war. God wants to use you as His instrument to defeat Satan. What greater glory, listen to this, what greater glory can be wrought to the name of an almighty, all-powerful God than to save a bunch of sinners like us, give us the Holy Spirit, put the Holy Ghost in us, regenerate us, Brother Dean, and then use us a bunch of fallen pieces of clay to defeat the devil. God delights in it. He delights in that. Going through that fountain gate of fellowship, you'll find the armory. You'll find the weapons, like the helmet of salvation.
breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, your loins girt about with truth, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having the assurance of salvation, having the power of prayer. I'm talking about where the armory's at. That's where God equips you, not just to try to, survive, but where you can be that overcomer and be victorious. Verse number 20, it also gave access, watch this, we've got access to the king's, to the fountain, spring. You got access to the king's garden. You got access to that tunnel Hezekiah brought the Gihon Springs. You got access to the king's house. You got access to the house of the mighty. You got access to the armory. And now you got access to the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Got access to the high priest. Amen. That's what fell in. Listen to me. When you have fellowship with God, you learn what Christ means to you as your king and as your high priest and as your satisfaction. Folks, listen to me. We think a lot of times, and God's working on me late last night, and I thought I was going to get to go to sleep, but I didn't anyhow. God's working on me how a distorted view we get of Christianity. And I've preached this for years, but sometimes it just gets real to you. God cares more about what you become than what you do. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. God cares more about what you are than what you do. Because if you're not right, what you do is not right. God's interested in you maturing, learning these gates. This maturity is what brings glory to God. If you're still Jethro Bodine in the sixth grade when you're 60 years old, the teacher and the principal and the parents and the person receive no glory because there's no advancement. You know what you're going through, what you're going through? So you can advance. You're ascending and you don't even know it. Some of you done hit that valley gate and dung gate, and you're headed up trying to get all them obstacles out of the way and trying to get that fountain gate open again. And you're ascending. You're moving forward. God's taking you somewhere. God's going to give you another drink like you ain't had in a long time, and you're going to realize it's worth it all. They got to the place of the high priest, the place of the sacrifice, the place of intercession, where we're interceded for others and others for us, where Christ intercedes for us. Verse 20, Barak, the son of Zabbai, earnestly repaired the other piece. I'm about done. His word Barak means blessed. Only a blessed man, only a man with God's favor on him, or a woman. Only a man or woman with the anointing of God can get their muscles out of the way of that fountain gate. Right. Ain't nobody else can do it. But they can do it. Earnestly, this word, it says he earnestly, I mean zealously, carefully, diligently repaired. This work was done with great joy. Earnestly. He understood the importance of this fountain gate. Watch this now. He's not just, listen. He's not just moving the obstruction to get to that fountain gate for himself. He's doing it for others. Amen. So they can get there too. Amen. And if I'll get where I ought to be, I'll help you get where you need to be. If you listen. Yeah. That's what this thing's all about. And you'll help me get where I need to be. And we all help each other get where we need to be. Man, it blessed me. I looked to come in here for Sunday school and seen Sister Ethel and Verna back there locked up hugging each other. These two older women hugging each other full of love and praising God and crying and carrying on. Amen. That blesses my soul. That blesses me. You get around different kind of people. You get around people that's not rich and are not real educated. They just know God. They just know God. Brother Dean, they just bless you. They ain't never got over getting saved. And man, they talking about going to heaven and talking about, praying and walking with God. And then you get around somebody else, it's like there's no God and God's on vacation, ain't nothing good. Then you get around somebody else, just full of knowledge.
Just full of knowledge. No spirit. No brokenness. No joy. Just puffed up in knowledge. I tell you which one I want to be around is that little humble person that's just overwhelmed by God. That's been hanging out at the fountain gate getting a drink. And you get a drink from their drink. Amen. And there's no diseases there. The overcoming of the gate among these 14 names mentioned, there was an encourager by the name of Nehemiah. You've all, listen, only encouragers can get the instructions from this gate. Verse 16, verse 23, you got Benjamin. That means son of the right hand. That means the position of favor. Then you got Azariah. That means Jehovah has helped. Verse 17, Hashabiah, Jehovah has considered. Verse 25. Padea means Jehovah or God has ransomed. I'm not going to get into all these names, but they sure are a blessing. When you go to the fountain gate, what all these, some of these names mean right quick. They mean help. They mean fellowship with one who encourages. Fellowship with one who considers us. Sets his love upon us from eternity past. One who gave his son as a ransom with his precious blood. He was buried, rose again the third day, victorious overcomer over death, hell, and the grave. One who is at the Father's right hand, making intercession for us, bringing us in to fellowship with the Father. Isn't that something? How just those few names I mentioned talk about the ministry of Christ. And he's the one that can give you power to get them obstacles removed. So here the people have access to these refreshing waters. They got access to the weapons of war. They've got access to the king's garden where you can have fellowship with God. You know what that gate is? It's a gateway to the blessings of God. The blessings of God's in the presence of God. In the presence of God, the promises of God come alive. And you get into the power of God. So we must earnestly, zealously keep the gate open. After him retired, Meremoth. That means elevations. Amen. You get there, you get elevated. Oh, yeah. Y'all getting in this something? Isn't this something? Isn't this some kind of truth here? Right there in your Bible. God's one said it. God's one recorded it. Isn't that something? How God put this together right in front of your face, that place of fellowship, after him retired, Meremoth, elevation, the son of Urijah, the son of Kohanhath, there is peace from the door of Eliashib, even of the house of Eliashib, repaired the entrance of Eliashib's house to the end of it. That's what he's saying. And then we see this verse, verse number 4, this same man is working at the fish gate. That same man. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. He's got a burden for the work of God. This man by the name Meremoth. Amen. That's why his name means elevations. He's doing all he can for the glory of God. Amen. Repairing the entranceway. Repairing the fish gate. In other words, he's effective. He knows the importance of the fountain gate. If you halfway serve God, you ain't got a clue. You done proved it. You don't serve God half-heartedly. You give God all your heart because you know the importance of that fountain gate. It opens up everything. When you get there, after you went down deep in that valley, after you've had to repent and God clean you up, you find out where it's all at. It's in the presence of God. Having communion and fellowship with God is what elevates us. Josh, you come on, hon. Hundreds of years later, in John 9:17, the blind man is washing at the pool of Siloam. Where did that water come from? The fountain gate. It come from the spring. And from that fountain gate and that spring comes water that can open the eyes of the blind and give life to those dying. Siloam is the same word in Nehemiah 3:15. It's Siloah. There at the fountain gate, a man received his sight. When you receive your sight, you receive hope because you can work. You receive a certain independence because you don't have to depend on everybody else. In other words, you're set free, a freedom. When blinded eyes are open, you got a future. And you can behold the beauty of God's creation. I like what Brother Keith Price says, and I repeat this all the time. And I try to give him credit when I do. He said, well, God saved him. He got open. His eyes got open. He entered into a world he didn't even know existed. What a way to put it. This way of love, way of fellowship. See, now he'll tell you his own testimony. He thought he loved his wife. He thought he loved his children. And he did. As much as a man without salvation could. But oh, when you get the love of God in you, that's when you really love with the juice. Amen. You know why? Because God's love is not a selfish love. It's a sacrificial love. And it delights in giving and expressing. Just like God so loved the world and gave. Let's bow our heads today, will you?